Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Lisa, who is here to speak with us about a very fun and I found helpful article that she wrote in the Monastery newsletter this month. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, hi, Jen.
Hey. So you talk about a recording and listening practice that you've taken up in the mornings, and the way that you describe it, it sounds really like a process. You kind of came across it through a spirit of inquiry, looking at a process that was happening for you in the mornings, and then coming around to this really quite fun recording and listening practice to address that.
Yeah, yes. Well, I've always had an inkling that something goes on in the morning. You know, there's something about conditioning and something about however it is that I'm built that I'm really vulnerable the first thing that I, when I wake up. And I had other practices where I would listen to recordings in the car on the way to work, or I would sit when I got to work, or other little things that I did in the morning. But it didn't seem to really still get at what was happening. And what was happening, what I talk about in the article, is, you know, I would wake up and my eyes would open, and then conditioning would just be right there, like sitting next to my bed, waiting for me.
Uh-huh.
And pull me into a story pretty quickly. And sometimes it was based on how my body felt. Sometimes it was based on something I had to do that day. So if I woke up with, like, a sore back, then, you know, it decided that I was going to be somebody with a sore back all day. And that meant that my day would be pretty miserable and I would be upset. And, you know, so it kind of, like, went off quickly to the races
and did that. You know, Lisa, that was actually one of the reasons I thought, gosh, I you know, want to feature this on Good News, because what you articulate, I project, is very widespread, and that so many people can relate to that kind of, you know, conditioning coming online immediately as we wake up. And it has to be so fast, because if it wasn't that quick, we would see it as a story creating itself. But it's so immediate that we don't at first recognize it as a story.
Yes. I mean, because it sounded like me, even though it's a little different. Well, here was the great part of it. So I was on a reflective listening buddy call, and I was talking about, you know, this where I feel like I'm a different person every day, you know, depending on what conditioning decides for me, and it was uncomfortable. And I remember something that Sherry had talked about in a talk where she had talked about how, you know, a person can decide to be a vegetarian and then 5 seconds later they realize they've eaten an entire cow, you know, and like, what's
right.
that about? You know, like, where is that person that I wanted to be? How do I keep with the practice that I want to have?
Yeah.
And so then I hit upon, you know what, it's got to happen first thing when I wake up. Like, that's
uh-huh.
when that's, I think, when I'm the most vulnerable, and that's when this is happening. And so the idea came to me to listen to recordings exactly when I wake up, like as soon as I'm aware that I'm awake, that I listen to a recording. And conditioning came in and told me all the reasons that was a terrible idea. You know, it would never work. It couldn't happen. It was impractical. And then it went into the place of, like, if I was the right kind of spiritual person, I wouldn't have to do that. And, you know, and I just got to a place of, well, then I'm not the right kind of spiritual person.
Right.
Whatever that is.
I'm not the right person.
I'm a person that when I wake up, I'm getting really beat up by the voices, and I want to try something. So when I tried 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'll do 5 minutes. You know, I got this huge, no, it's never going to work, never going to work. You know, 3 minutes, never going to work. So finally, I remembered something else that the guide had said in the secret is there are no secrets. She talks about in that video about how sitting for 5 minutes a day would change your life, right? So
I
thought, well, what if I went for the bare minimum? You know, what's the bare minimum that sounds ridiculous, but it just might work? And I was like, 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and of course then conditioning was like, well, 1 minute will never be enough. And that's how I knew it was enough.
Yeah. Don't you love it? 5 minutes. There's no way. That's way too much. You can't do that.
Right.
Well, let's try 1 minute. No, that's never going to be enough. It's never going to do it.
Right. So that's how I knew. That's how I knew it. And so then I just decided I would do it. And I just did it. And,
wow.
You know, it's I think of it as like the lazy girls. the lazy girl's way to, you know, outsmart conditioning. Because, yeah. I mean, 1 minute in the morning, and yeah. I lay my earbuds over my alarm clock. So my alarm clock goes off, and this is how goofy or great it is. So I've learned how to turn on my recorder without opening my eyes. It's really not hard to do. There's like a switch that turns it on, and then yep. I know where the folder button is, and then yep. and I don't have to go for a specific recording. So it's just kind of right. like a roulette wheel. You know, I just kind of yeah. like knock around on it and then hit play.
Yeah.
And I know how many seconds it takes for it to warm up. It's a whole thing. So I try not to open my eyes if possible, and then for 1 minute, I listen to the recordings, and usually there's a timer there as well, and on my phone, and then I just listen to my recording. And
and I'm so curious, what's been your experience as you've done that?
Well, you know, I've when I wrote that article, I was only a few weeks into it,
yeah.
and at first it was just you know, waking up and having that voice talking to me, and it was me, you know, it's my voice, you know, and it was telling me things that, you know, were good about my life or things that I've been looking at, and
yeah.
it just reminded me that, that, you know, that I'm connected to my heart and all these good things. And then over time, what I've found is that what it does is, so instead of being a person who wakes up and has a meeting to go to at 10 o'clock, or a person who wakes up and has a backache, I'm a person who wakes up and I'm practicing. I'm
yeah.
a person who practices,
yes.
you know, because I'm listening to a recording of someone who's practicing,
yes.
and that person is me, you know?
Yeah, that's brilliant, really, isn't it? It, I mean, it's so perfect, the little parable you told a few minutes ago about the person who decides, gosh, I really want to be a vegetarian, which we, you know, we can all project. That's a big, you know, sort of something that comes from the heart, from that deep down place of who we really know we are. And then there, you know, 5 seconds later, there we are eating meat. And so what we need to do is we need to practice being the person who we know we are.
And, right.
and that's what's so brilliant about what you're describing is it's not the length of time. It's not which recording you're listening to. It's not any of that.
Yeah.
It's simply the act of being the person who you know that you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And for me, it just worked to have it be a minute. Like, it just,
yeah.
And I've considered extending it, and then, you know, I don't know what I want to do with that yet because conditioning
yeah.
really wants to play around with that.
Right,
and I'm like, you
right.
know what, I'll stick to the minute for as long as it's a minute. And then,
yeah.
you know, we'll see what happens. But,
exactly.
but yeah, so it, what it really has done for me is I wake up knowing I'm a person who practices because
yeah.
there's proof, because there's a recording of someone
yeah.
practicing, and then I'm actually, and I've started off the day with practice. So I've started off the day with, like, that, because I'm the kind of person that, like, if I'm going to do something, I got to do it first thing in the morning. And if I don't
mm-hmm.
do it first thing in the morning, you know, conditioning comes in and has a conversation with me about it all day. And so that's one of the reasons I thought I couldn't do it, because I'm like, well, I have to exercise first thing in the morning. Otherwise, I won't. Or I have to do this first thing in the morning, like sit, or I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, you know, if I do the recordings first, that sets me up for everything else for the rest
that's
of the
exactly
day.
Exactly right.
You know?
Yep. Yep. If you start the whole morning practicing, essentially, tuning to life, you know, being life, then, boy, that really sets you up to make the decisions that are actually going to support you, the decisions you actually want to make.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 So it's fun.
And I love that piece about, you know, so you make that one-minute commitment, and, you know, there's so much encouragement in practice to make the commitment and stick to it. You know, we'll often talk about it in meditation. If the commitment is to sit for 10 minutes, don't sit for 9 and don't sit for 11. You know, sit for those 10 minutes and then watch what happens around it, of course, is the biggest piece. And then after whatever period of time, let's say you do that for a month, then you can revisit, you know, sit
yeah.
down with a mentor and decide, do we want to do 2 minutes? Do we want to do, you know, whatever it is?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been really enjoying it. And so, I mean, I would say if anybody's interested in giving it a try, you know, it really is the bare minimum, you know.
Yeah.
At least it felt that way to me. It was like, you know, this
yeah.
is, if I don't do this, then something else is going on. You know?
Yeah, truly. Yeah. Well, I don't have time for 1 minute.
Right. You can do anything. And it's worked out. You know, my partner is there in the morning, and he doesn't care. He's usually asleep, or, you know, he's up for getting ready for work. And, you know, on a weekend, I don't set an alarm, but I still do it anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, it's like such an easy little thing to do. And then I've accomplished something. I start the day having accomplished something and feeling connected to practice. And not having conditioning control my day and control my life, really, you know.
I love it. And if one is the kind of person who has stars on charts, there's another star on the chart.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm going to play a little bit. I've been using random recordings, and I just came from a retreat where we talked a lot about, you know, having these different commitments for the day. And I'm excited to maybe make some recordings that reflect more of more of that, you know, more of directly speaking to the commitments and playing with it in that way.
Yeah, yeah, having particular recordings that you might want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now I feel like I'm on a roll, you know.
Yeah.
Now that I know I'm successful at it, it's like, ooh, what else can I do with it? You know, now there is that spirit of inquiry and all that curiosity and discovery.
And that's such an important point, Lisa, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's it. That's everything. All you need is to get pointed in the right direction. And it's why conditioning will resist it. So, well, 1 minute, I mean, that's not going to do anything. But, of course, it's going to do everything.
Yeah.
It points us in the direction we actually want to be headed.
Yeah. I feel really grateful for, like, reflective listening buddies and my awareness coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, the email classes, like everything that were like, there were all these pieces that were in this, you know, and I probably even it came up to do this before. But, you know, I just feel so grateful that all the pieces came together at this time for me to have this. And I just feel so grateful for Sangha and for everyone who's out there trying different practice tools and talking about them and sharing them because I think that helped me put together something for myself. So just lots and lots of gratitude.
Yeah, and then much gratitude turned towards the practitioner who picks it all up and does it, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Lisa, well, thank you so much for being on this afternoon. That was really quite helpful.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, thank you, Jen, and thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Great to have you on the air today. Good. I hear Ohio is in your future. Is that correct?
Well, Ohio was in my future.
I see. Got it.
There are a lot of things in my future coming right up, and it doesn't look like Ohio is going to be one of them. So
got it.
That final word, I'm guessing, it's very, very hot off the press. So I don't think the final word has come down yet, but don't start rearranging your calendars if you're in the Midwest to be there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, we do a practice of responding to life as it arises, don't we?
That's exactly right. And letting go and knowing that the opportunity will arise again. And you know, it's just, isn't it lovely? You think if things are going in one direction and they don't, and then it just opens up space for something else.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully. And I have some announcements here.
Great.
A new email class called Sex and Money or Dirty begins July 31st. Class participants will use the lens of sex and money to explore guilt, disappointment, regret, resentment, anger, longing, and fear.
Well, that sounds boring, doesn't it?
Sounds what?
Boring.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot there once we look underneath a little
there.
Bit.
Yep. No, I'm really, that's a very fun thing. And knowing how Antonia and Terry have been putting things together lately, I can imagine it's going to be amazing.
Yes, I agree. And there are a few slots left in In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself, retreat, and that's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, August 31st through September 4th.
And I believe since the last open air, you and I can now both say from our own experience how highly we would recommend that retreat.
That would be a big affirmative to that one. Yes, it was wonderful. It was fabulous to be with the guide and Ashwini and Sangha from all over the country, actually. It was really, tremendous privilege, tremendous opportunity, great gift, miracle.
Yep, and so very fundamental, such a deep, deep training. I mean, training is really the right word for it, which makes it so applicable to our everyday life, you know?
Yes, because then everything just becomes training.
Everything becomes training.
Whether I like it or didn't like it or it went
right.
Well or it didn't, or it's just training.
Yeah, which really opens up a lot of freedom, not to mention joy.
Yes, yes, that was my experience exactly. And as you mentioned, the retreat focuses on the importance of training and spiritual practice. And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Right.
And a few reminders to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Jen today. Press *6 and then 1. And if you could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be great. So let's get started.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. Well, I'm calling because it's part of my commitment for some Zen coaching that I started.
Oh, very good.
What's going on in my head is I don't have anything to talk about, so I shouldn't be calling, except I have tons to talk about. But
but not conditioning wants you to talk about.
Well, yeah, the story is I need to talk about only good things, only positives, only, you know.
And
I can't call when I'm having a hard time.
As Michael and I just described, if it's all training, that kind of opens the field wide up, doesn't it?
That does. And I loved what Lisa was saying at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
With that 1 minute thing at the very beginning of the morning.
Yep.
I think that's awesome.
Yep.
And that's great. That actually applies more to my daughter, I think, than me. I don't usually wake up like that. I have a harder time later in the day.
Uh-huh.
But I've got somebody in my house that could really, that has that morning issue. So.
And I don't know if it's the daughter you're talking about, but if it is, then I know that she practices too, so.
Well, she has, and we've tried to help her to do some of that, but there's a lot of, she's now a teenager.
Yeah, I see.
So that probably says a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of resistance.
All, right, so it might be a little vacation right now from practice.
Yeah.
Her own, make her way right back to it, which you know she will.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it always happens.
Yeah.
Especially in
well, it's something we talk a lot about in the house. So, you know, and she's hearing.
And, you know, Lisa, isn't it such a perfect opportunity for us to do truly the only thing we can do, which is to just be practice?
Yeah.
You know, not talk about it, not you know, suggest someone else do this or try that, but just be practice, because, of course, that's the thing that opened her to it in the beginning, I would project, is seeing her parents transform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've been doing practice all along, but I kind of slid into only doing the things that, like, were okay with conditioning.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, okay, you can do the once a week reflective listening, and you can do you know, this little bit of meditation, but you can't do, you know, getting outside that box wasn't.
Right.
I got a lot of backlash for that. So, but that little bit of practicing was only enough if nothing difficult was happening in my life. And then I ran into a patch recently in the past, 3 months, that lots of difficult things were cropping up kind of all at once.
Uh-huh.
And it was just one after the other after the other.
Uh-huh.
And that little bit of practicing just wasn't enough. I mean, I was starting to fall apart.
Uh-huh.
Not quite out of the woods on that yet.
Uh-huh.
But I struggled for a while, and then struggling maybe a little bit less because I'm doing more recording and listening on a regular basis,
uh-huh.
which I've always known would help, but I just,
yep.
I would start it and then stop and then start it and then stop and then,
yep.
You know, so just adding things in one at a time, but then just keep going on that and then adding something else. I started over with the open air, been listening to the old archives,
very
and
fun.
So I just keep it on whenever I'm doing something that isn't noisy.
Uh-huh.
Just keep it going.
When did you pick up the Zen coach? When did that?
That's fairly recent. I think I'm for maybe this next time is going to be my fifth call.
Uh-huh. Wow. So it really is recent. So
yeah, it's very recent.
That's fabulous. And is there is the step back perspective available to you of being able to kind of celebrate the process of, okay, so maybe you got bamboozled on some level for a period of time and, you know, there was sort of a just doing what you needed to do to get by, and that was okay, and it worked, and it kept you in the game. And that as things started to be difficult in your life, as challenges arose, you saw that there needed to be more practice, and that you did that. You added practice, and that you're stepping forward to realize, okay, I see, it's not a hobby. It's a way of life, and that you're actually stepping into that. And I just wonder if that perspective is available to you.
Well, I think it's only slightly available. I can tell that that's hard to hear because the tears are coming.
Yeah.
So someone has a hard time seeing that and getting credit for it.
Right.
I did see that. I on Friday, I had my last reflective listening call for the quarter. And the whole quarter, it was the quarter that I was going through stuff after stuff after stuff. But this last call, I finally was to the point where I could just celebrate what I was doing.
Wow.
As much as conditioning wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Well, you're not doing that much.
Right.
But for me, it was doing a lot more than I had been.
Yeah.
And so I spent my 15 minutes talking about, you know, that it was really great that I was able to do this, and how, you know, recording and listening was such a huge triumph for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I got such a horrible backlash on the weekend.
Oh, I bet.
After seeing that and celebrating it and having a great morning and a great, you know, most of the day, and then something else happened later in the afternoon that got me down, and then conditioning came right in.
Yep. Yep.
And made everything seem really bad, and, well, I guess you can stop practicing because, see, it doesn't work.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so it just, so I had that little glimmer of being able to celebrate, and then.
Yep. And then it tries to pull you right back down. Yep. And then on Tuesday, you're calling into the radio show. So yep. What does that tell us?
Okay, I recommitted on Monday, and I'm...
you know?
Trying
I mean,
to, you know, maybe that...
10 times down, 11 times up.
That's what it feels, although it goes back and forth between feeling like I've, you know, sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, and sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 3 steps back.
Well, and...
you know?
That the only difference there is where the attention is.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, you're still here. You're still
yeah.
in practice. You're calling the radio show tonight. You've got a coach. You're doing reflective listening, buddy. If you're recording and listening. I mean, you're doing all of these things that show that you're committed to practice, that you're committed to ending suffering for Lisa. And conditioning wants to weave a story. Well, yeah, but I mean, see, you keep, you know, this happens and that happens. But so what? Of course things happen. I mean, we're human. We're sentient beings.
Yeah.
You know, we have all kinds of reactions. Life is happening in all the ways that it happens. You know, we have all those experiences, but we're practicing. And the times where it feels like conditioning is winning is when the attention's on conditioning. And the times where we realize that's not true is the times are the times when attention is here in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, and I am still here and still working at it. And even though conditioning would like me to believe that, well, you know, you've been doing the practice for a long time. You should be there by now.
And do you ever wonder where is that?
Yeah, it still does. It, most days it feels like there should be a place to get.
Uh-huh.
And there should be a way to fix
yeah.
Whatever it seems to be, whatever's being presented is wrong. Yeah, but I'm...
Which, if you know, if only intellectually, right, that the only reason for that is to keep us in a conversation.
Yeah.
Right? Because, of course, if there is somewhere to get and there is something to fix, then we're going to look to conditioned mind to figure out what that is and how to do that.
Yeah.
But if we truly get it, that there's nothing to fix and there's nowhere to get, and we practice staying here, keeping the attention in the moment where we know that's true, that's our experience, then the conditioning's completely out of a job. There's no way
yeah.
for it to... create suffering for us.
Yeah, and I heard a bit on an old show just the other day about embracing the sadness, embracing the things
yeah.
that are typically not embraced by
yeah.
our culture,
yeah.
And then being okay with those things as they happen. You know, that emotion is there, and
exactly
instead of fixing it and running away from it, embrace it.
Exactly.
And so I've been looking at that.
And isn't it so much our experience that when we do, you know, it could be sad or hard or, you know, all kinds of things, but it's not the same as suffering.
Yeah.
When we're truly here with an experience, when we allow ourselves to have whatever experience, fully have that experience, whatever it is, it isn't suffering.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it because I hadn't seen it like that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and that...
Yeah, thank you.
So much of what you're describing, you know, when we go through times when things are really challenging, that, at least in my experience... When I really look at, okay, what about this? Which is the suffering piece of it? It truly is simply the conversation. The conversation that says it should be different, it shouldn't be this way, you're not the person you should be, they're not the people they should be, I don't like this, I don't want this. Whatever it is, but in some way, it's a conversation overlaid on top of whatever's happening.
Yes. Exactly. And that I've been noticing that this past week, is what's been getting me is especially the part of the conversation where it's, this shouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
And then I get led down the path of being upset because it's supposed to be some other way.
Right.
And yet it's not. And then I'm struggling against that instead of accepting it.
And Lisa, do you do the two-handed recording at all with your recording listening practice?
I have tried. I haven't had a lot of luck. I've been trying that this past week, and I haven't had the mentors show up. So I don't know if I've just been identified, and that's why the mentor hasn't showed up, or whether, I don't know.
So you put the recorder in one hand, and you just talk about, I don't want it to be this way, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and then I switch hands.
And do you listen to it?
And most of the time, what I have come up is really nothing.
Do you listen back to the recording?
Do I listen back first before I switch?
Yes.
Before I switch hands? No,
yes.
I don't.
Do that.
Do that. Okay.
Definitely do that.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, because I think what you'll find, this is my experience, is, and let that, let her talk about whatever's going on. It doesn't have to be a long recording,
Right. Just
let her really... It's hard. Okay, well, what's hard about it? Let her talk about that. Well, it hurts my feelings, or I hate it. It's frustrating. It's whatever it is. Let her talk about it, 2-3 minutes, whatever it is. And then listen to it, and then see what you see about it.
Okay. Thank you. No, I'll try that.
There's a really good chance that there's going to be a bigger perspective there who really starts to see this is a person in a tough place.
Okay. Well, I will try that right away.
Okay, super. And then you'll
report back,
huh?
Yes, I can.
Excellent.
All right.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much, Jen. It was awesome to hear your voice.
Thank you, Lisa. You too.
All right.
Take it.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, I can generally hear you pretty good. Occasionally, you're a little bit faint.
Okay.
You can just
all
shout
right.
it out. That would be great.
Holler at me if I'll start to be much louder, but holler at me if it keeps happening.
Okay, great. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol in Philadelphia.
Hey, Carol.
And oh, my goodness, this is only the second time I've called, so... it's really exciting.
Oh, very good.
I have a gazillion questions.
Okay.
But what I know, conditioning is saying you have so much else going on in your life. Ask about those things. And what I really, really want or need is a 5-minute intervention about recording and listening.
Okay.
Because I've basically, I think my first retreat was in 2001.
Okay.
And, I was a good girl, got all the books and went to a couple of retreats. And then the recording and listening thing came in. And I was one of the ones that said, I will not do this. I absolutely will not do this. I can't stand my voice, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember Sherry saying that when conditioning is really, a little nervous, it brings out the big guns and the hooks and the hammers and everything. And I realized, big guns are happening here. And there's something that, for example, I just will not do it. And I keep on thinking, there's this little voice that's going, just wait a couple years. They'll get over it. They'll forget the recording.
And that hasn't happened, has it?
Oh, no. You guys just drop the recording and listen. No, so I realize something is desperately wrong here. And I realize I need to call in. And I think I know it's wrong, but I need someone to sit across from me in the room and say, we have a problem here.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the best part about the practice perspective of it is that we actually don't have a problem, do we? We just have a really interesting look at how conditioning is controlling the human.
Yeah. And the only problem is it's really working.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really working.
You need to get on the side of practice instead of on the conditioning side.
Yeah, I had to do everything in my power to bring up another subject. I mean, there was so much.
Well,
there's so much else happening. The condition was like going, come on, this is what you really need help with. Come on, you're on. Yeah. So, anyways.
I mean, what a miracle that you were able to get the words out of your mouth, huh? Get past that resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge, yeah?
Okay, can I go now? No.
Just get right. Sure. Right? I mean, that's the thing. That's what's such a miracle about it, Carol, is that truly we're each deciding for ourselves. I mean, it's the thing the Buddha said, right? His supposedly his last words. We must each work out our own salvation diligently.
No.
So should anyone record and listen? Absolutely not.
Yeah. And that's another thing is like, you know, I'm going to be doing this till the end of time, so it'll pass. That's the whole other thing that conditioning is saying. It's like, yeah, you know, you're going to be suffering till the end, you know, blah, blah, blah. So just wait. They'll stop the recording and listening thing. But
I
no.
didn't catch that. You're going to be doing what?
You know, the thing about the suffering, we must work out our own suffering diligently.
Uh-huh.
It's like that's you're going to be working on your suffering till the end of time, so you might as well just, you know, wait and see if this passes over.
Meaning the recording and listening thing.
Yeah, and it's not.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, is that who knows, right? Well, I mean, none of us
Excuse me?
I was saying that, you know, who knows? None of us
knows
whether the content of recording and listening will stay around in practice forever. But here's the thing about it. What we can know is that conditioning's resistance to it is a process that will remain in control until we're ready to see through it. Do you know what I mean?
Resistance is a process.
So in other words, let's say next year Sherry said, you know, I found this other thing that I like much better than recording and listening, and, you know, let's do that instead. The fact that the content of recording and listening had shifted doesn't mean that the process that conditioning does around it to control us is going to go away.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah?
That's fascinating.
Carol,
and my voice
I can't tell
is not
if it's my
change,
phone, but I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Oh, really? Is this better?
A little bit, yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think I had my... I'm taking down notes, so I think I had my hand
good.
Over.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a recorder?
Oh, I have. I have all the accoutrements. I went to Radio Shack, and then I have someone says, "Oh, voice memos on your cell phone." You know, I have all this stuff.
Okay, good.
And have
you literally not
ready.
Hit record?
Huh?
Have you literally not hit record? You have not.
No,
done
no. I have.
Uh huh.
And you know, I've listened back, and it's like, yep, still hate the sound of my voice, and it hasn't worked. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we just. I haven't done it diligently.
Right, which is going to be the next piece, isn't it? In fact, I'm almost excited for you because you have such a fun project ahead of you, which is that you are just going to go right at the conditioning's main linchpin for you, right? So the thing that's so beautiful about it is that what I project is happening is that it's got this whole story about how it should feel and how it should work and how it's going to look and what your life is going to be like if it starts working. But, of course, it isn't going to work because it doesn't work for you. And you're just in resistance and blah, blah, blah. Right? Am I somewhere in the ballpark of how it happens?
Yep.
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about it is that, really, it actually doesn't matter a fig what your actual experience is with the recording listening. you know, maybe you're going to, which I actually really predict is going to happen, because in the position that I'm in, I see hundreds of people go through this process.
I figured you
have yet to see one not have this happen. But where I suspect you are going to end up falling in love with the process, and you're going to just love checking in with Carol, and you're going to fall in love with Carol listening to her, and you're going to be shocked at the wisdom that's going to come out of Carol's mouth, and all those things are going to happen. But really, it's kind of beside the point, because just being willing to do the process simply to go up against that resistance is the thing that will completely transform a life.
Really?
Oh, really?
No, it isn't the content, though. It makes so much sense. I never thought of it in that, you know, it's like, no, it's the words of wisdom that you listen to and,
Yeah. So I don't know if you do any of the, if you have a Zen coach or you do reflective listening buddies or things like that, but it could be a fun thing to use either one of those arenas or the 30-day retreat at the back of Making a Change for Good.
Uh-huh.
And, or do you have the I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It?
Yes.
No, actually, it isn't that one. It's What You Practice is What You Have.
I got them all.
You have them all. Good. So What You Practice is What You Have has an extensive recording and listening repertoire in it.
Yes, I've read it many times.
Good. That could be another. In other words, choosing one of the ready-made practice formats to support you in beginning this process, because conditioning is going to go crazy. It's going to go crazy. I project everything from, as you say, the all-out big guns to the subtle form of, I mean, you can do it if you want, but it's not working, so why bother?
Right.
You might as well quit.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna pull out all the stops. So to have some kind of structure to support yourself in continuing to do it, no matter, quote, how I feel or, quote, how it's working, is going to be really important.
Yeah, geez, you know, if you sit every day, how would they ever get to sit every day?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I must have had the same, this is stupid, this is not working.
Oh, you know it. Such a good point. Yeah.
I just don't have to listen to my voice in recording saying this is stupid. Oh, maybe that's an idea. No. I can fight with myself. With one hand, I'll say, this is stupid, this is not working, and then switch it to the other hand and say, oh, isn't that a pity? But,
and switch it to the other hand and say what?
Oh, isn't that a pity?
Uh-huh. I can't tell if you're joking or not.
I am.
Okay, good. Just making sure. So here's the other thing that's going to happen, is you're going to totally get over the, I hate the sound of my voice.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, listen back to this archive, you know, when it goes live, whatever it is, over the weekend.
You'll realize I haven't listened to the last, just like everybody else. The last time I called, I think, was 3 years ago. I haven't listened to that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's another good one.
Oh, God.
Yep. Another good way to challenge those voices. Yep. Yep. And don't leave Carol alone with it. You know, reach out for support from Sangha in all the ways that are available to us.
Yeah, I really do need to do more of that on a regular basis, not just, you know, a retreat or a, you know, maybe a buddy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, a reflective listening buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, very good. I'm excited for you because, I mean, just the fact that you were willing to, that you've been sticking with it in the face of that much resistance and then decided to call in tonight and then push through all of that resistance to choose that as your topic, that tells me right there that you're on the road to success.
Oh, well, thank you so, so much, Jen.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for calling.
I'm able to look at it in a different light, really, you know, some of the things you pointed out.
Yeah.
I really am. And
good. Good. Very good. And again, as we said to Lisa, report back. We want to hear how it's going.
Oh, yeah, a couple of years. No problem.
Or maybe a couple weeks or months. That's more like it.
Oh. Well, as you said earlier, you guys, life as it arises.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, all the best. And
all right, very good.
And
take
thank you,
care.
Michael.
You're welcome.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You're listening to Open Air. We have the privilege of being joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And Jen, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey, Andrea. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Yeah, I think I'm doing well, although talking on my iPad and it says low battery, but we'll see if I'm able to talk.
Well, so far, you are by far the loudest caller I've heard tonight.
So. Oh, okay.
So far, so good.
All right, good, just in case I drop out. But I guess I'll talk about recording and listening, too.
Why not?
Yeah. So I listen to a lot of recording often at night, often when I'm sleeping.
Uh-huh.
What ends up happening is I seem to wake up and somehow the earplugs are no longer in. But anyway, often I listen all night.
Uh-huh.
The question I have is, or the process I'm seeing is, I decided I wanted to do some in the middle of the day. So at work, I do a half-hour meditation outside, and then I do a couple minutes of recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, what I catch is this process of not doing it right, and basically it's just a check-in where I just say, you know, how I'm doing, and then, or, you know, whatever's coming up, and then I listen to it, and that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see is just this process of, oh, well, you know, you could be doing it much more efficiently or actually effectively or, you
uh-huh.
know. You know, so that's what I'm saying.
And so what are you seeing about that?
Well, one thing I'm seeing is that I forget. There's a lot of forgetting. So I had been forgetting to record and listen, and then I remembered this week, and so I started again. And then I just also remembered that I wanted to listen in the morning. I used to listen every morning for 10 minutes in bed, and I realized today that I could actually do that because I have this process of it's really hard to get up, and I realized, well, you know what, I could do that between the first and the second alarm. So
yeah.
So that just dropped in.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And you know what strikes me, Andrea, as you say that to me, the process of getting out of the conversation to not believe that incessant assessment that
mm-hmm.
you so aptly describe, you know, that kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, you could be doing this more effectively. Is it really working? I mean, I don't know if it's really doing anything. I don't, you know, I mean, that conversation is, first of all, it's such a energy drain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then if we don't catch it, then unconsciously we start to associate that with recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is exactly what conditioning wants to happen, is that we start to associate recording and listening with sort of this energy drain.
Mm, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. But then when there's that process of like, well, you know, just let's just try this and let's try that, and then we become open to the insights of like, wait, I used to listen in the mornings. I could listen between my alarms. Hey, that's a good idea. And then we're just, then it becomes kind of a game, and it's
mm-hmm.
just fun to find out. And that we don't, you know, just like we were just talking about with Carol, we don't have to have any certain experience. You know, we're not looking to, quote, feel better or, you know, be any certain way. We're just experimenting with this practice tool that is a really important part of practice.
Yeah, and it's just so interesting because conditioning tries to compare everything, and you know, it's like, and also says, well, what's more important, meditating or recording and listening? You know,
if you have to choose between them.
Yes, exactly. I'd like to set that question up.
It's so insane, isn't it? It's like, well, which would you rather do? Do you want to breathe or do you want to eat? Choose. I mean, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So it's interesting to see that, and you know, that process goes on no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a really important thing to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
It has
yeah.
nothing to do with recording and listening.
That, yeah.
This is the backdrop, you know, against which to see it. And there, those are all things we can record, you know, as you're going along. You know, maybe you take on a project for a while of all the ways that assessment is, you know, coming up, that ego is attempting to pull you into a process of assessment. And each time you see something about that in your day, you just turn on the recorder and do a whatever it is, 20-second recording. Oh, my gosh, I just saw how it tried to do this. Oh, and then there's this. Oh, my gosh, and then here. And so you're just kind of, you know, have a little process project for yourself, and then at your lunch break or the end of the day or whenever, you listen back to those, and then you record whatever insights come out of that. I mean, there's just so many ways to play with it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I find, like, at work, I just record and immediately listen, because that's the thing I have trouble with, too, is that I finally, after, gosh, it's been almost a year, I finally got all my recordings organized how I wanted them to be.
Wow.
And I still haven't listened to them yet, but at least I have them available. It's kind of coordinating that.
Sorry, say that last sentence again.
Coordinating that, you know,
uh-huh.
so actually listening, you know, it's just, I guess the difficulty of remembering to listen to it and,
uh-huh.
you know, to actually do it and,
right.
you know, just the remembering is, you know, like, I'm pretty good about, you know, doing it at certain times if I get in the habit, but.
Right. What's your commute like?
Well, that's a possibility. I could definitely do it on my commute, and
mm-hmm.
That's something I've thought about, and it's interesting. I haven't done it yet, so.
Well, you know, interesting. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those, gosh, we say it, and we're like, wait, that's so obvious. Why haven't I done that? Well, of course, we know why, because we get talked out of it, and we forget. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, end of story. Great, now I remember. Okay, I can start tomorrow. You know, I mean, it's the essential piece, isn't it? As soon as we see something, where does the attention go? It can go into the, gosh, why did it take me so long to see that? Or it can go into the celebration of, yay, that's so fun to see.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, oh, yeah, my commute. Okay, perfect. We'll start tomorrow. You know?
Yeah.
And part of the reason I ask is that that is a feat, I know, of putting one's recordings in the configuration you want them. Is it in a sort of form where it could shuffle through them?
Well, kind of, but I have them organized into albums, actually. And
uh-huh, so you could listen to an album.
I could listen to an album, and, you know, I could listen to certain ones for, you know, certain reasons, you know, like I have a reassurance is one, I have, you know, calls with reflective listening, you know, where I record myself, and, you know, and retreat ones and stuff like that.
Oh, that's really fun. So, like, this week could be Reassurance Week, and next week is Reflective Listening Buddies Week, and the next week, or it could be, you know, the commute is when we listen to these recordings, and morning is when we listen to these recordings. I mean, yeah, again, it's just such a fun, just something to play with.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. And also, I could be listening to the archives on my retreat. My commute could be retreat, actually.
Yeah, actually, that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it, to think of your commute as a retreat?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes what I do on my commute is I actually do, it's not like I literally do the two chair, but I will talk to myself and then reflect back in the car.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I really think it is making it more of a habit. And, you know.
Yep, and that's where we get into the old, you know, twist eyes on the fingers and, I mean, even stuff like I'll set an alarm on my phone, you know, just to support myself. So if you're on the, you know, if the commute starts at 7:45, then at 7:50 there's a little alarm that goes off to say, are you listening to your recordings?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, right. Nope. Okay, let me pop that in.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I think it's, as you said, remembering, and also what tends to get me out of doing it is this kind of resistance and feeling like, you know, and I guess really the conversation of, oh, this isn't really that effective or I don't want to, gets me out of the habit and then I forget. I think that's what. So.
Yep.
That's
and again,
what
we don't want is to be in that conversation.
But yeah.
It gets pinned on the content of recording and listening.
Right.
But what's actually creating that experience we don't want to have is being in a conversation with conditioning.
Right, right.
Which is precisely why recording and listening is effective.
Yeah.
Is that it pulls us out of the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Which is another fun one, Andrea, is to listen to a recording and really literally practice training the attention to be on it.
Oh.
Do stuff like listen to it and realize, whoa, I missed that whole middle section. Go back and listen again. Wow, and then I missed this section. Go back, listen again. Listen to that recording until you can be present through the entire thing. That's really good training.
Well, that would be that would definitely be training, I have to tell you, because some of them are, you know, most of them are around 10 minutes, and a few of them are even longer, so that would definitely be a training.
Wouldn't it? And imagine that, how different your life would be if you can train the attention to stay with what you're listening to for 10 straight minutes.
Yeah.
An eternity where conditioned mind is concerned.
And maybe I will just go short and start with a minute.
Yeah, there you go. See? Yeah, take a look, page out of Lisa's book.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a real night for reporting back, because it would be fun to hear back from you as well, how you know, everything that you've seen around it as you've been playing with it.
Yeah, that will be useful. And I just find it's useful to actually call in occasionally about the recording and listening, because there's all these expectations of how it should be and, you know, and what it's supposed to look like and all this stuff. And you know, these beliefs of, oh, I'm supposed to have an amazing insight every time I do it, you know.
Yeah, and to realize that the only reason we do it is the same way reason we do everything in practice, which is exactly what you're underlining, is to see that process.
Mm-hmm.
To see that process, to reveal it, to not believe it, and to not let it control the life.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, you know, again, when we realize that the attention is being monopolized in that way by that assessment process, you know, we can also do a fun, turn on the recorder, what am I grateful for? What's beautiful around me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I've done it a little bit, and, you know, like I've done it even just not with the recording, but, you know, and that's another thing I really need to remember to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Is practice putting our attention where we want it to be.
Yeah.
Actually training to do that. Like we would train to run a marathon.
Or like we train to look at the breath.
Or like we train to be have the attention with the breath. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting. If I look at it like that, that really speaks to me if I look at it like that.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And it really is training, isn't it? We have to train. We have to do it.
Yeah.
We can't think about it. It's not the same thing.
Yes.
Actually train.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
thank
you for calling in about it.
Yeah. It's really helpful.
Yeah. All right. Well, take good care, Andrea.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Jen, I found it fascinating what you said about not being able to listen to the recording or keep our attention on it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, you know, when an email class assignment comes out, I would read that. And if you asked me later in the day what it was about, you know, I couldn't remember what the topic of the class was.
Right.
Let alone
it
the assignment.
Had
and then
to do
I
with
started...
awareness practice, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then I started recording the assignment and then just playing it on loop through the day that I received it. And it was it's exactly like you said. It's only when I hear it two dozen times that I catch each of the little sections.
Yeah. Oh, it's very good.
And it's so fun. It's so fun.
Yeah. And, you know, what it points at, Michael, is that that's happening on an unconscious level all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that you have a recording of the email class and you're playing it on loop. Well, that's what conditioning's doing to all of us all the time. It's got us on this loop of, well, and you should have done that, and, you know, you're not really doing recording well, and it's not really working for you, and... Oh, by the way, what time are you going to pick up the such and such? And, you know, don't forget to, huh. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we need a loop to replace that loop.
That's exactly right. We need something to bring our attention back to what is. Yep.
Yes. And what is another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Is it me? Hello?
I hear someone's there, but it's breaking up.
I am here. I don't know if I'm on the air or not.
Beth, I can hear you now.
Good evening, Jen.
It's a Pennsylvania night, huh?
We're trying really hard to send the rain your way.
Oh, the rain. We'll take it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, every drop.
Yeah, and it's turning really moldy here.
Oh, my gosh.
And
wow.
We'd love to send it.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's
not
all good.
Moldy here.
Yeah.
If there's a drop of moisture somewhere, I have yet to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. All or nothing. Which
all
is kind of how I do everything.
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
I have been flat on my face most of the day. Just, it's just getting so hard.
Just so hard, did you say?
Yeah. But I kind of like to continue with the recording and listening conversation.
Great.
Because I was in that boat as far as, you know, giving a half-hearted attempt. But didn't like the sound of my voice and didn't do much with it.
Uh-huh.
Until I kind of recorded the daily recollection was the opening point for me.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Mm-hmm. Now it has become the days when I put that on, you know, my drive to work, you know, just changes the whole day. Kind of open possibilities. It's just one step, you know.
for me, it's kind of like the Buddha said, you got to work out your own salvation for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine life without it now.
Oh, wow. So you got over not liking the sound of your own voice and then some, huh?
Yeah, well, not really. I still don't like the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tom Waits' voice was horrible, too. But, you know, he sounds good.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I predict that's still in your future, then.
Yeah, well, it's never going to be the voice I want it to be. It's never going to be the fairy princess voice.
Well, it's never going to be the voice that conditioning says it should be.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and just kind of looking, and
it's
just like a little girl kind of wanting a certain vision, but, you know.
Yes.
I actually got up in front of people and sang
wow.
a couple weeks ago, which,
uh-huh.
you know, for somebody who hides in the corner.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I just think that's really.
With the voice I had.
I think it's important to underline for all of us, Beth, really, because that we'll never have the voice, and we can all plug in whatever our content is there, that conditioning says we should have, or even supposedly that we want, as you say, that fairy tale, you know, little girl has a fairy tale idea, is not the same as that we can fall in love with that person who has that perfect voice for her.
And just kind of coming out of the closet, this is a huge issue for me because I'm starting to lose my voice.
Uh-huh.
Which is just part of, you know, old age, sickness, and death, something that none of us are promised tomorrow.
Right.
So staying with, you know, the sound of the rain,
yeah.
you know, the lush greenness that's
yeah.
kind of here in Pennsylvania,
hmm.
Which I know it was a small moment for you at the monastery, but it's one that stayed with me,
huh.
is you told a story once about clinging to, you know, a piece of wood from a sunken ship in the middle of the ocean, and you're just getting tired, and you got to, you know, you just know you're not going to make it, and then all of a sudden you realize you're a mermaid.
And then all of a sudden you realize what?
You're a mermaid.
Oh, got it. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, so today I just clung really hard to that piece of wood.
Uh-huh.
Watching the sinking ship go down.
Uh-huh. And now?
I'm really grateful to have a Tuesday night habit.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way I got on.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it really takes us full circle from what Lisa started us off with in the Good News Update, that in the same way that her turning on that one-minute recording is being who she knows she is, you calling into the show, I project, is a recognition that you are the mermaid.
Some hell or high water.
You know?
It's like, yeah, and Nelson Mandela talked about the thing we're afraid of is our own light. And I accept being a mermaid.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that there aren't hard days and hard things, you know?
Yeah.
But, boy, does it, instead of arguing for, you know, hating the sound of my voice and all those sorts of things that the past conditioning wants to take us down, it really argues for just outrageous unconditional love for this good human who we're here with, you know, and just supporting her and loving her and recording to her and singing to her and talking to her and getting to know her and, you know, all those things that if we look at it through the lens that we're talking about tonight, that recording and listening can assist us to do.
It can. And it opens up the possibilities.
Yeah.
It makes it much easier to get to the cushion.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of tend to stay.
Yeah.
One of the big things for me was, as a six, you know, believing things is a huge thing, you know, tripping stone for me.
Uh-huh.
So finding things that I didn't have to believe,
uh-huh.
have really worked.
Oh, that makes this practice perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got like, 10 minutes of oming just with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, I mean, it's like, and from that, I record Rumi poems to myself.
Uh-huh, yes.
It's kind of finding, what works for me.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny, Beth. Thank you for that, because it reminded me of a practice that I've gone in and out of that I haven't done for some time, and you're inspiring me to do it again, where I stumbled upon a just this very simple but fun practice of doing things like make a recording when I'm like flossing my teeth, for example, and I'm just chatting as I'm flossing my teeth. And then at night, I'll listen to that as I'm flossing my teeth. So we're flossing our teeth together. Or I had a whole long one that I used to do in the mornings as I did, I had these stretches that I would do, and I talked myself through the stretches. Okay, now bring the right hand forward and blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, we're chatting. So it really is like you're with someone, isn't it? You're together. You're it's such an experience of being with life.
Yeah, not alone in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had an accidental recording once that I listened to all the way through.
Uh-huh.
When I was cleaning a bathtub, and I heard myself muttering. And when kind of hearing you talk about that, it reminded me of like going back through it, and it's just like I was muttering the most unkind things.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And which kind of really gave me something to record about.
Yeah.
And kindness has become, I've got kindness written all over my place.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. Isn't it amazing how life lines it up for us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, just doing the best I can and...
Well, and much better than the best you can, right? I mean, we're always all doing the best we can, right? But, why don't we just say it? I'm doing fabulous. Right? Which is not the same as everything's going my way and it's all easy and I'm getting everything I want. But, my God, I'm practicing. And I'm here and I'm calling in on the Tuesday night show and I'm doing great. And, in fact, we're all going to hang up and go make a recording about that.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. Take very good care, and we'll hear from you again soon, I hope.
Arigato.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth, and thank you for a great show and a great assignment, Jen.
Oh, very good. Yes, thank you, Michael, as always. Such a pleasure.
Yes. Yes, and so the assignment, let me make sure I have it right, is to go and record how things are going great.
How things are going great. How you're fabulous.
How I'm fabulous.
Because what...
Yes.
What a disservice. How could each one of us not be fabulous? It would be impossible.
Yeah, it's true.
It would be impossible.
It's true. Yeah, and why not celebrate that and own that and then project that onto everyone and everything else?
Precisely. What a gift.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Good night.